Good morning. Glad to see you here in the house of the Lord to worship this morning. And all those who might be on Zoom, we welcome you as well. Let me go through a couple of announcements, and then we'll get to our worship. First of all, I want to remind you about the cards. If you had Christmas cards put together and you don't feel like taking the time to put them in all of the different mailboxes, the Missionary Support Committee is here to help you with that. You can just put them over in the kitchen in a box that's over there. They'll separate them for you and they'll put them in the right boxes. And if you feel so led, there's a box there for a bit of a donation. Also, this afternoon there will be our Christmas caroling. Now, we're already starting out a little gray, and we're not sure about what the weather's gonna be like. So what I'm suggesting is that meet here. I mean, unless it's pouring down rain, meet here, and we will carpool if we need to over to the Londonderry Village. But we're gonna plan on the caroling. Be here at 3:30, and then we'll figure out at that point whether we're gonna carol here or over there. Also, you see a note in the bulletin that as of January 1st, Janice is going to be taking care of organizing the meal ministry. We do want to thank Thelma, and we will thank Thelma when she's here. We'll thank her in person at some point. She's been a big help in doing all that for so long, but now Janice is going to take that over, so she'll probably be coming to you at different times looking for your help there. She does ask that you keep her informed when a need arises. So, also, something brand new, we have been contacted by the school. I don't know if you remember last year, we gave you several weeks. We had talked about some families at the school who were in need, and we had some tags back there for you, and you took them and you filled the need for a couple of people. We were just contacted at the end of the week about one family, about one girl who's moving in with her grandmother, just moved in. So this is kind of a last-minute need, but we've been waiting for it, right? I don't know if you've been thinking about we didn't do the tags like we did last year. Well, now you have the opportunity. The tags are going to be back there on that back table. We do need you to take them today and return your gifts next Sunday. I know that's kind of last minute. It's given you a week, but as I said, the need just came up. It just arrived on Thursday or Friday. So take a tag. We encourage you. Take a tag or tags. Fill those needs. Bring the gifts back next Sunday for us, if you would. So we're glad that God's going to use us again to help somebody, to help a family out at this time of the year. It's just the timing just kind of ended up being a little bit last minute, but we can handle it. Is that it? Let's see. Yeah, I guess that's all I have as far as any kind of new announcements or any kind of scheduling. Anybody have anything that I might have missed or forgotten? Anything that we need to know about? Just, again, put on your calendar about the annual congregational meeting, but that's not until January. So if no one has anything else that we need to share, I'll ask my Advent helpers to come up this morning, those who are going to help with the lighting of the Advent wreath. So once again, we have lit the two candles, the first two candles of our Advent wreath, to remind us of God's gift of hope and his gift of peace. And today we're going to light the third candle, the pink one, which represents joy.
As we wait for Christmas, the birth of Jesus, we look forward to the joyful celebrations we will share with those we love. The prophet Isaiah calls us to rejoice because God will make the desert bloom and will call the people to return home on a great highway. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the angels brought good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. The good news of Jesus' birth and the promise of peace are still tidings of great joy for us today.
Isaiah says, "Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads." The third candle reminds us of our joy in Jesus Christ.
Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the gift of joy. Help us to recognize the moments of joy in our lives and to live joyfully so that others may be filled with the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. And I'll invite you to join me in singing our Advent hymn. Invite the praise band to come on up as they get ready to lead us in worship. I'll take the opportunity at this point to go ahead and personally thank Thelma. Hi, Thelma. We were just talking earlier about how Janice is taking over the meals, but we were very, very thankful for your years and years of service in that way. So thank, well, but it was dedication. So thank you very much for all that you had done. We're still in Advent, and so the question still is, where's the baby, right? So we still live in anticipation of Christ's coming, figuratively through the Advent season, but of course literally as we anticipate his second coming as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together to worship you, because you are worthy. And so I pray that everything that we sing, say, and do here this morning would be to your honor and to your glory. And I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'll invite you to stand and sing with the praise band as they lead us in worship this morning.
The Lord is come. Singing on his way, Chancellor. He's on earth, goodwill to men, and the bells are singing like a choir that's singing, and in our hearts we'll hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Suggest you offer them, peace be with you. Peace be with all of you. All right, as we find our way back to our seats, maybe somebody could help me out, too, thinking ahead here. Are we still going to be set up for children's church? I know we've got some who are sick. No children's church. Okay, thank you. I got the thumbs down from way back in the nursery. Okay, so unfortunately, I apologize. Because of services, we won't be having the children's church, so. Okay, but in the meantime, can you share with me some praises that you've had from this past week? How can we praise the Lord? Share with us some things that have happened for you this week where God showed himself and was evident. We've talked about sunshine, rain, geese, birds. Doesn't have to be a major fireworks event. He shows himself in so many ways. Or if you'd prefer, we can just go to prayer requests. Yes.
Thankful that when it's so cold outside, I have a warm house to stay in.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. He has provided shelter, warm shelter, yeah. Yep. Any other praises or any prayer requests that we have? I think I can provide an update, and certainly I'll ask for any clarification, but we know that Bill Smith has been moved down to Spancrest. He's down at Spancrest for rehab. As you know, if or any of you who saw the email about Tina White recovered from her COVID pneumonia situation, but now Terry has COVID. So we still want to pray for them, Bill, and for Terry and Tina. I'm not sure if there's any other situations that I'm aware of. Yes.
Just remember, Ron and Jean, they're still having problems.
Yes, and I did get a chance to visit them yesterday. The encouraging thing was that he talked about how he's able to get out every day. Every weekday, he takes a walk. He takes the weekends off, but he takes a walk on the weekdays. And along that line, as I was chatting with them, they are very anxious to come back. They miss you, of course, as much as we miss them. They're very anxious to come back. However, they're somewhat hesitant because his health is fragile and he doesn't want to contract anything. And so I was telling them that maybe we can work something out. You know, the family, as a family, we can certainly take their needs into consideration. When they come back, let's not attack them with hugs. They know that we love them. We are so glad to see them back whenever they get back. But let's just kind of give them a little bit of space so that he doesn't contract anything from us. Welcome them from arm's distance, and I think that'll be great. And that way they won't be scared to come back to church. They're not scared, but you know what I'm saying as far as their health. They are concerned about what he might pick up. So we want to take care of him and be concerned. So I have a feeling we might see them soon, either Sunday or even Christmas Eve. So when you see them, resist the urge to just grab them and welcome them from arm's distance. Any other prayer requests? Okay, well, and I'm sure there are unspoken ones, and I know God hears them. He's hearing your heart right now. Maybe there's some who are even saying, I'm not sure if I should speak it out loud or not. He hears it anyway. So let's go to him in prayer then. Well, Father, we thank you just for the gift of a new day, and we thank you for all the blessings you have provided already so early this morning, as was mentioned, just the fact that we have a warm house, we have clothes, we have food, we have things that we take for granted that some people don't have. I pray for those people who right now don't have a stable home situation, and I pray for your help with Cliff, the gentleman who has contacted us, and we've been trying to help a little bit, and thank you for providing him with two jobs as he's already starting to make the way to recovery with your help, and we thank you for that. We pray for this family that we've just been told about, this girl that's going to move in with her grandmother. I pray that you can use us to help that transition be one with some joy added as we hopefully add a bit of joy with the presence that we can provide. And I just thank you for healing that we see in people, recovery, strength being given to people who needed it. We just thank you for being such a vital, an intricate part of our lives, and the fact that you're there every second. Not that we have to rub a bottle like a genie and have you show up when we need you. You're there all the time, and we thank you for that. We ask you to continue to heal Bill. We thank you for the healing that he has received, the care that he has received, and we thank you for the care he's about to receive at Spancrest. And we just pray and know that you're going to work through those caregivers, and we just pray for his speedy return to home. We thank you for the way you have healed Tina, and now we ask for healing for Terry as he has contracted that disease as well. And we thank you for the healing that we see in Ron, but we know that there's more that needs to be done. And so we just ask you to watch over Ron and Jean, give them strength, give them both strength and wisdom, discernment, as decisions need to be made at different times about things that go on with the medical questions. And we thank you that you have put some people in their lives who are able to provide them with answers. Thank you for that for all of us. We don't know everything we need to know, and so we thank you for giving us people who can help us out. We thank you for the way that you provide for us through the week, through an income, and we have given a portion back because we love you and because we recognize that it's all yours to begin with. And so, Father, we ask you to accept our gift, our offering, our thanksgiving, and to bless it and to use it to further your kingdom and your church. And I pray now, too, Lord, that you would use me as your mouthpiece. I pray that our ears and our minds and our hearts would be open to your message, and that we would be doers and not just hearers of your word. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the challenges that I have as a pastor, or any pastor who's preached more than about 2 years, the challenge that we have is how do we take the story that you hear every year and make it fresh, make it new? And I've tried to do that with the two biggest supporting characters, Mary and Joseph, in the last 2 weeks. And this week we're going to look, of course, at the main character, Jesus. But I'm not going to read from the traditional stories that we read from Matthew and from Luke. Instead, I'm going to be reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And then maybe that seems like a strange place to go, but bear with me. I think you'll see where I'm going, why I chose this. We're going to hear Paul's description of the first Christmas and the Christ of Christmas. We know that we all look forward to Christmas with more anticipation than any other season of the year. It's a time of big bright eyes, big smiles, giving and receiving gifts, visiting friends and relatives, and lots of delicious food. But Christmas doesn't really have any meaning apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a cliche, I know we see it on billboards, but he truly is the reason for the season. And we're looking forward then to celebrating the birth of Jesus. Now, by the way, I hope you realize that Jesus wasn't actually born on December 25th, but that's the day the church fathers chose to celebrate his birth. They wanted to present a Christian influence to some of the existing pagan celebrations on that date. So we celebrate Christmas as Jesus' birthday. We celebrate December 25th as Jesus' birthday. Now, since kids didn't go to children's church, maybe they can help me out with this one. When we celebrate somebody's birthday, what kind of things do we do? What kind of things do you do when you want to celebrate somebody's birthday? Yell something out. Have you ever celebrated somebody's birthday with them? What'd you do? Was there a party? Yeah, okay, so you have a party. What else? What's at the party? Go ahead. Cake, a birthday cake, exactly. That's what I have down here, birthday cake. And then maybe you wear those funny pointy hats, right, with the elastic around your neck, around your chin, yeah? Okay. We usually give the birthday boy a gift then, right? We give him a present. That's usually why we throw a birthday party anyway, right? So that other people will buy our kids presents and we don't have to buy as many, but that's the kind of stuff that you have at a party when you celebrate somebody's birthday. Well, the interesting thing is that at Christmas, yes, we're celebrating Jesus' birthday, and it's his party, but we're the ones who are receiving a gift. And that's what Paul describes to us today in our sermon text, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. And I'm going to pause for just a second because every time I turn, I cut out, and I don't want to lose anything here. Yep, just need to be tightened, and we're good. Okay. So we're reading from Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, where we read, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And so we have that description of Christmas morning, that first Christmas. Yeah, it's still cutting out. I'm sorry, because I just don't want to, those on Zoom can't hear me like you can, and the recording won't do so well. I'll try to stand still instead of moving around. Maybe that'll help. Okay, so we've got, let me read it again. Chapter 4, verse 4, and I'm sure it's up there. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now the verse starts with the word but. So there's obviously more to the thought. And I'm not going to read all of chapter 3, but just to paraphrase, Paul is talking about the law. He talks about the law in chapter 3, and in verse 19 of that chapter, he says, why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions. It was added because of sins. The purpose of the law is to expose the truth, to identify transgressions, to reveal our sins. And that's all it can do. It's kind of like a mirror. You look into a mirror to expose the truth, even if you don't want to see it, to identify dirty spots or to reveal our blemishes. I just noticed the other day as I was looking in the mirror, not only do I have bags under my eyes, but I actually have a bag that has a bag. And I said, okay, now we got to do something about this now. But that mirror can't do a thing about it. It's not going to fix it. I can't take that mirror off the wall and start rubbing my face and fix anything that's on there, you know? That mirror just can't fix the problem. I can't use it to wash any dirty spots. The mirror can only identify the problems. It can't fix them. Well, likewise, the law could only identify our sins. It couldn't do anything to fix them. It couldn't do anything to get rid of them. And it couldn't save us from their consequences. So continuing on in that verse, why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions, because of sins, until the seed, with a capital S, to whom the promise referred had come. The law was added because of sin until the seed had come. Paul's using this idea here of the perfect timing. That's when time would be right, when the seed would come. Later in verses 22 through 25, he says, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. The analogy he's using here is the idea of a child being under the protection, the guidance. I'll move my whole body, then it won't cut out. The whole idea here is of a child who's under the guardianship of a person who's watching over them, a tutor, a guardian. You want to try something different? I can just kind of keep, I'll keep moving my body instead of just my head. Thanks anyway. So the idea was these people, these kids, the child would have a tutor, a guardian, until they became an adult. And until that child would be old enough then to receive his inheritance. In the cultures of that day, whether you're talking about Jewish, Roman, or Greek, a time was determined by the father ahead of time, a set time. There would be like a rite of passage that would actually be that moment when they were considered to be an adult. We just don't have that in our Western culture, and it's a shame. But in those cultures, there was a set time. The father would set a time when the child would become an adult, and he would inherit all the rights, all the privileges of an adult. And then verse 2 of this chapter 4, as we get closer to our sermon text, verse 2 says, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So until that time, even though the estate was technically his, the heir was treated much like a servant. He was under the guardianship and the tutelage of someone or some people who were appointed by the father. Verse 3, so also when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces or the guiding principles of the world. Excuse me. And then we get to the first verse of our text. Again, verse 4. But when the set time then, so all of that is what he's been building up to. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. The set time had fully come. The time was right. There were no more untils. Now, the time had come. Now, what made this the set time? Or what made it the fullness of time? Well, quite literally, God only knows. But we are able to speculate by looking at what is happening around that time. There was a man named Alexander who thought he was pretty great. And he had set up a dialect, a version of Greek, Koine Greek, thank you for laughing, as a common language. It was a trade language. If they wanted to do any business together, there was this type of Greek that they could use to talk to each other, understand each other, and to do business. Much like today, I think the trade language of today would be English. People from all different nations, all different languages use English in order to work to do business together. So there was this common language that they could use. Also, Rome intended to control the world. So they developed road systems. They already had quite a bit of land that they had conquered, and so to get around through those places, they developed road systems. And some of those road systems, many of those road systems, are still in existence today. So maybe we ought to send some representatives from PennDOT over there to study those roads. Rome had these road systems in place to get around from one place, one part of their kingdom to another. And Rome had instituted its Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. It was a peace that we have talked about that was very violent and oppressive, but it kept the peace, but you didn't want to be one who was disturbing the peace in that time. Now also, in order to keep that peace, they also would put sentries out on these new roads so that traveling would be a little bit more peaceful than it had been in the past. So the gospel of Jesus could be shared via a common language, traveled over great distances over those new Roman roads. And on top of all of that, the religions and the philosophies of the Roman world were starting to lose their pizzazz. They just weren't quite as big on their Greek and Roman gods as they were before. And Jewish interest in a Messiah was at an all-time high. Now, that seems to be why the timing was better. I know many of us would say, why didn't he just wait till 2024 to come? Think about how easy it would have been for Mary to get the news to the world when she had the baby and he's laying there in the manger. She could have just used her cell phone and took a selfie and sent it across the world in seconds. Everybody would have known. And Joseph could have had his Twitter account updated already. And somebody, one of the news agencies, would have been flying somebody in on a helicopter to interview everybody. The news could have got around. But for whatever reason, God chose that time as the perfect time. And when we get the sense of this perfect timing and how it was the fullness of time, I can ask fathers, any of you who were fathers, you can relate. When your wife looked at you with those eyes staring right at you and said, "It's time," and you knew you better get her to the hospital right away. It's that idea, that fullness of time idea. It's time. The set time had fully come. The time of inheritance designated by the Father had finally come. And when that happened, he says, God sent his son. Notice that he says he sent his son. That means his son already existed. God the Son already existed. He didn't just suddenly be created because of this event. He sent his son. Then it says, born of a woman. He didn't make his son by having Mary conceive. He didn't just have a made poof kind of son. But God the Father sent God the Son to live and to grow as the result of that conception. And then it says, born under the law. He was a human. And he was born into a Jewish family. And like every other Jewish male, he was expected to keep the law. Unlike every other Jewish male, he was able to keep the law. And we move on then to verse 5. He says, this is a continuation. The time had fully come. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Verse 5, to redeem those under the law. Redeem, in this case, refers to a payment. It's a payment that's made to remove someone from slavery. Many times a slave was a slave because they owed money. If you owed money to somebody and you couldn't quite pay the debt, then you would work off the debt. You would make yourself a slave to that person until that debt could be paid. Now, if someone came along and paid off that debt for you, that person was considered a redeemer. So Jesus was born to redeem, to purchase out of slavery those who were born under the law. Now, according to the culture, that's where the redemption process ended. Redeeming just means bringing them out of slavery. But God didn't stop there. Jesus was born to pull us out of our slavery to sin that was revealed by the law, and he went one step farther. The other part of verse 5, that we might receive adoption to sonship. He didn't just set us free, he also took us in. And I've explained this before, but it's always exciting to share it again because this, to me, almost explains everything. Adoption is a legal process that makes the adopted child just as much a member of the family as a child who was born into the family. That means that the adopted child has just as much right to the family inheritance as children who were born into the family. And so in verses 6 and 7, it's explained, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Abba means, it's an Arabic word meaning daddy. It's a very personal feel there, not just the clinical or cold father, but the personal Abba, daddy. Verse 7, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And in Romans, Paul continues the thought. He says the same thing. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. A co-heir with Christ. You are part of the family. If I had a person who was sitting here, who was born into the family, and someone who was adopted, that is the only difference. Those two people have the same rights and privileges, the same inheritance in that family, as if they had both been born into the family. And so now he's using that analogy with God and with Jesus, his son, and us, who are now adopted into the family, and we have all of the rights and privileges of being in the family, including the inheritance. At the first Christmas, the time had fully come. Everything God needed to do in human history up to that moment had been completed, and it was time for God to redeem people from their sins. And so in God's perfect timing, he gave us a Christmas present to redeem us, to adopt us, and to give us an inheritance. The Son of God became a man so that man could become a son of God. I'll invite you to stand as we sing our final hymn about this very topic. want to remind you quickly about those tags on the back table back there to help out that little girl who's moved in with her grandmother. We lit the candle of joy this morning. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And so as you leave here, leave with joy in your heart, knowing that he is coming, that Jesus brings joy no matter what the situation. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he guide you and protect you. May he lift up his face upon you and give you his peace and his joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.